Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick with you this morning here with Celeste. Well, yesterday on this very show, we had New York Times columnist Gail Collins. She was talking about her new book, As Texas Goes, How the Lone Star State Hijacked the American Agenda. Now, this book argues that the state of Texas has a huge outsized, Texas-sized influence on the national agenda. Too big, in her opinion. Collins said she got the idea for the book after hearing Texans complain about the national agenda, the same agenda that the state has hijacked. Listen.
You, A, have an economy that has been starving its education system in order to keep taxes low. An economy in which poor people, lower middle class people, working people actually pay very high taxes as a percent of their income. It's the wealthier you get, the more likely you are to be undertaxed in Texas.
And that's the wrap on Texas from Gail Collins. This made some takeaway listeners very unhappy. Here's Ray from Fort Worth.
Self-delusional liberals like Gail Collins always, kind of mock Texas. And their utopia, of course, is the only state that resembles the future besides Texas is California, which is overly bankrupt and just a complete mess.
Take that, Gail Collins. Joining us today for a Texan's perspective, Joshua Trevino, Vice President of Communications at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Joshua, hello.
Hello. Hello from deep in the heart of Texas.
Deep in the heart of Texas. Celeste has her claps ready, I'm sure. There it is. Deep in the heart of Texas. Joshua, let me get your reaction to Gail Collins' statement that I just played. Texas has an outsized influence on the American political landscape, but it has one of the highest rates of uninsurance in the country, if not the highest, some of the lowest per capita education funding. The poor pay more in taxes. The rich pay less. She's trying to put some facts on this criticism. How do you react to those?
I think describing Gail Collins' critique of Texas as putting facts on the criticism is extraordinarily charitable. You know, when the book first came out, I was very interested to see what the New York-based writer who has made a bit of a career out of mentioning Mitt Romney's dog had to say about my home state. And coming away from it, I have to say that if you enjoy Tom Friedman's conversations with his taxi cab drivers from the airport, then Gail Collins' book on Texas is the absolute right analysis for you. It's actually just not a very good book, and I regret saying that. There's really room for a good, informed, left-of-center critique of the state of Texas, but unfortunately, this isn't it. From opening with a grotesque historical error that every Texan will recognize about Sam Houston, to kind of the abusive figures. I want to talk a little bit about the figures that you mentioned. The clip that you just played, she talked about Texas education funding, which I'm a bit astonished by it. When you look at the per capita, per pupil funding for education in Texas, the national cost of living adjusted average is $12,465. So this is the national average. In California, it's just above $8,000. In Texas, it's actually slightly above the national average, $12,676. Texas student performance, I'll pull out the eighth grade numbers on the national academic education progress assessment. Texas eighth graders on the average and then broken down for all ethnicities actually do slightly better than the national average. So Texas, although there are many legitimate critiques to be made of it, like every state, we have our issues. Texas is actually doing fairly well. There's a reason that our population has grown by almost 25% in the past decade, whereas the national population has only grown 10%. There's a reason we have about 1,000 Americans a day moving to the state. There's a reason that in the past half decade, almost half of all new American jobs have been created here. And it's a pity that throughout Gail Collins' entire book, she doesn't contend with any of this. Sure. There are things wrong with Texas, but Texas has also been a success in many, many ways.
And you make the point there, which is a strong one, I think. I did not know that. Americans seem to want to live in Texas, voting with their feet. So that's point taken, Joshua Trevino from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. One of Gail Collins' other points that I would really like to have your reaction on, though, is Texas's outsized influence on the American political landscape. Yes, it's a big state geographically. It's a fairly big state in terms of population, far from the biggest. Mm-hmm. But Gail Collins' critique here is you go all the way back to Lyndon Johnson, Phil Gramm, Texans all over the place that have influenced American politics, American energy policy, oil refineries, pumping in Texas, pipelines, steering the economy and the political landscape to a place where it better off shouldn't be. That's her critique, that Texas is sort of ballasting the American political landscape to a conservative skew that it doesn't deserve.
Well, I don't think deserve has anything to do with it. 1 in 12 Americans live in Texas now, and that's a pretty huge proportion. It's still not the biggest state in terms of population. I believe that's still California, but we're getting there. And if trends continue, we will be the most populous state coming in the next 10, 20 years. So we'll see how that goes. I have a very difficult time in a representative democracy that's got some sort of a just apportionment of seats, especially in the House of Representatives. Believing that Texas has an outsized influence. I don't really know how you characterize that. I mean, we all voted on our policies, and we all participate, and New Yorkers, and Californians, and Ohioans participate in equal measure with Texans. So I'm glad. I don't think Texas.
Well, let me give you a shot. If you're sure. if you're going to critique the political influence of Texas, George W. Bush, George H. W. Bush, then we go, of course, go back to Lyndon Johnson. You just look at the crude measure of presidents. Got a lot of Texans.
Well, we do. But Texas, this is the one thing, by the way, that Gail Collins has right, I assume by accident. Texas is a very important state. No Texan is going to deny this. What we contend with and what I take issue with Gail Collins is that the influence is, in fact, a malign one. I don't think it is. And most Texans don't think it is. And as we just mentioned, Americans voting with their feet don't think it is.
Does this book like this, do you think, get a lot of sales in Texas? One of the best ways to sell books is to make people mad. I think they're going to be buying this book, certainly in Austin. What about in other places?
Austin, yes. Elsewhere, no. I think it'll sink without a trace.
Sink without a trace in the state of Texas. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure about that. You can have me back on to say if I'm wrong.
Well, I think what I would like to do, if they're going to take my advice, is have you back on and get you opposite Gail Collins, because you both have a lot to say. Joshua Trevino, I love the data-driven arguments that you make. You came with numbers and a strong defense of the Lone Star State, and that's what I appreciate here on The Takeaway. Joshua Trevino, Vice President of Communications at the Texas Public Policy Foundation, pushing back on the New York Times' Gail Collins, who on this air very decidedly and very clearly messed with Texas and with her new book, As Texas Goes, How the Lone Star State Hijacked the American Agenda. Joshua, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.